Turn your Bible to John chapter 13, which is located in the New Testament in your Bible. John chapter 13, verse 18. And let's start. At Folkestone Park, which is located in Vienna, Virginia, some of you may remember, it was February 18, 2001. Group of FBI agents swarmed down to the car that was about to leave that location. And they promptly arrested this person who turned out to be a fellow agent from FBI. His name is Robert Hansen, a counter and intelligence expert, 25-year FBI veteran, and he was a bureau liaison to the State Department of the Office of Foreign Mission. He was arrested a minute after he placed the box under the wooden bridge, the box that contained top secret and classified information of the United States. And he was handing it to the Russia and Soviet agent. While his neighbor and colleague knew him as a family man and hardworking FBI agent, the truth it was much different. Hansen was sneaking out all this information to America's enemy without revealing his identity. Now that Robert Hansen is serving his life sentence without possibility of parole in one of the federal prisons in the country, more specifically in Colorado State. One of his Catholic priests would tell you, if you ask him, what do you know about Robert Hansen? He will tell you, for a decade, Robert Hansen has been in the church every morning, 6:30 every morning for the daily mass. He was very faithful. He was very religious. To him, being religious has nothing to do with following the command of God. He pick and choose what he wanted to follow, and he discard the rest of them. What was going through this former agent's mind while he was sneaking the top secret and classified information to foreign enemy? He was not thinking. He wasn't thinking about future. He received $100,000 from the Russian agent. But the information he handed over was far more than $100,000. As a matter of fact, money was not the motivation. He was already making good money. He was financially secure as an FBI agent, 25-year veteran. $100,000, it was just way to start. And he was blinded by his own twisted self-justification and a seared conscience. The law, once he upheld as an FBI agent, became nothing more than the letters on the piece of paper. He discarded. This morning, we are going to meet a man and who had the most rare privilege in human history. As a matter of fact, there are only 12 of them in the entire human history. This man had the privilege to be with Jesus day in, day out for almost 3.5 years. And yet, this man was not one of them. Judas, the ultimate betrayer at its worst. He was so close to the Lord Jesus, yet he was so far from him. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be like Judas who betrayed you, not even 1 second, not even 1 moment. Even though he was so close, he was so far away from you because his heart was not with your heart. But we want to be so close with you. We want to be so intimate with you. We want to know your heart. We want to do what you want us to do. Instead of boasting like a Peter, instead of doubting like a Thomas, instead of betraying you like Judas. Let us hunger for your presence in our lives. Let us hunger for your word, your living bread, your living water. Fill us our heart, fill our lives with your word, with your truth. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may come to know you, he may receive your salvation through Jesus Christ. Not doing lip service, but truly he get converted to follow Jesus Christ. And we also pray for those who are wearing uniforms and also being in harm's way, like our troops and firefighters and law enforcement personnel. Father, we are asking you to watch over them and protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. To the Eastern concept of hospitality, they don't just share the meal with anybody come along. See, having a meal together, showing the hospitality and the sharing fellowship, it has a much deeper meaning than our idea of let's do lunch. It's not like that. Lifting his heel against me is a Jewish way of expressing the way a person would, you know, you call it vicious stomp kick on the back of someone's neck while that person is down. When the person is down, this enemy will come back and stomp the back of the person's neck. Not just pressing down, kicking down. That would be ultimate insult, that you're literally shoving the face to the ground. In other words, these two sentences point to what Judas was about to do against Jesus. One moment he was sharing fellowship with Jesus, and next moment he was going to betray him. As we can see, that Jesus was not surprised that Judas was about to betray him. And in fact, Jesus pulled the scripture from the Old Testament that already happened, but he was predicting what Judas is going to do. Keep your finger in John. Go to Psalm 41, please. Psalm 41. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Of course, when King David wrote this psalm, he was probably referring his counselor, Ahithophel, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Remember Bathsheba and King David? Yes, they committed adultery. I'm sure as a grandfather of Bathsheba, it was more like an insult to him what the King David did. When King David's son Absalom revolted against his own father, Ahithophel quickly took the side of Absalom and betrayed the trust of King David. It's significant that both Judas and Ahithophel committed suicide by hanging themselves. However, Judas did not commit suicide to fulfill the prophecy. You have to understand this. He had his own choice. If he was simply fulfilling it, then God is guilty of assisting him to commit suicide. God doesn't do that. Judas had his own choice to commit suicide. And that decision was made by him. Judas was responsible and decision fulfilled the word of God. Am I making sense to you? The name Judas appeared in dictionaries. If you have a dictionary, probably you could go into the dictionary and look at it. Judas is a kind of synonym for the traitor. It's a noun. It's not just, it doesn't say a man's name. Rather, it's a noun, a synonym for the traitor. A Judah is someone who betrays a friend or comrade. Of all the baby dedications I've done many of them. I've never, yet to this point, I've never dedicated a boy named Judas to the Lord. If you are a parent, none of you would name your child, if you have a right mindset, you would not name your boy Judas. You just don't do that kind of thing to that child. Why? Because this man, what man, this man did 2,000 years ago, nobody will follow that name. Marriage are split by the betrayal through adultery and distrust. Friendship was separated because of betrayal. Nations split, have split, and the wars have begun because of betrayal. It is important to note that Judas was not a true believer of Jesus Christ, even though some liberal biblical scholars believe that he was. He was a hypocrite. He was a pretender. He had never believed in Jesus. He had not been among those chosen ones from Father gave to the Son. How close a person can come to the Son, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, yet be lost forever? So close, but so far. Judas was even the treasurer of the group, in the group of disciples. He was the one who was carrying the money box. And he certainly held a high regard by his fellow disciples. I want you to notice a two words at the end of verse 19. Let's go back to verse 19. Now I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that, what does it say? I am. And if you notice, there's a word he is in italic in your Bible. Whenever you see this kind of italic, is something added by the editor of your Bible for the better understanding. In other words, Jesus is using that name of God, I am, that comes from the Old Testament. It's not I was, it's not I will, but it's I am. That means he's overriding any time zone. From the past to the present to the future. To him, everything is I am. Go to verse 20, please. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who received whomever I send receives me, and he who received me receives him who sent me. Can you imagine the faces of the Jesus' disciple by now? I'm sure there are confusion and perplexity in their eyes. And they're wondering, their eyes darting from corner to corner. So, okay, who is it? Who is the one betraying my Savior, my Master? Jesus wants them to understand this is not something, he's not some sad and crazy leader that he's going to die pretty soon, next day, as a matter of fact. And that's the end of this whole shenanigan. No, it's more than that. He was reminding them his authority came from the Father, and their authority will come from himself. This applies to all of us as well. It's not just applied to the apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ in the first century. It applies 21st century, the followers of Jesus Christ. When we go out to speak of Jesus, we represent God, the Father, as well. And that ought to give us a great boldness in our heart. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you are an ambassador of the nation, you don't come with your own authority. You come with the authority of the nation you represent. We are representing Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the owner of the universe. So we should have a boldness. And you may say, well, I don't have that kind of boldness because I don't know the Bible. Well, let's start to read the Bible, start to study the Bible, start to memorize the Bible. Verse 21, please. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Why was Jesus' heart was troubled? And was he scared of the Judas betrayal? Was he scared that he is going to die? Was he scared of that what's going to happen next day? I don't think so. Jesus was troubled because he could see through his omniscient eye that Satan is moving around Judas. In physical eyes, through the physical eyes we could not see, but through his spiritual omniscient eyes he could see the devil around him. Jesus was troubled because he had a knowledge of the sin of the betrayer and the terror and of his eternal punishment. Jesus was troubled because he sensed all the sin and the death meant to the human beings. Jesus was troubled because he had inner awareness that Judas was a classic illustration of the wretchedness of the sin and the sin which he would have to bear on his own body next day. And for he's now become responsible. And Jesus was troubled, and he was in deep sorrow. No wonder why he was known as man of sorrow. Sometimes we emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ so much that we forget another part of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus. He had a feeling just like us. He felt the pain just like any one of us. We tend to think that Jesus would just brush off whatever happened to him, saying, okay, whatever. You know, the sign, whatever, right? Whatever. You didn't know? You guys are so behind. He lived in the complete awareness of the both deity and humanity. But he was deeply troubled and agitated as God and a man. As the writer of the Hebrew put in chapter 4, Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's a memory verse. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Some misguided people tend to think that Judas got the dirty end of the deal. I mean, what chance did he have? God predestined him to be the traitor and betrayer of Jesus. And he could not possibly prove himself to be innocent to anybody. It was destined that way. That's what they say. Even the renowned Calvinist, whom I dearly respect, his name is John MacArthur. And he acknowledged that Judas had his chance to exercise his own free will, to choose to be obedient to Jesus or continue to betray him. Every one of us have a free will to exercise. Just in case you have any idea whether we're going to lose eternal salvation or not, you know, please don't go there. That's a dividing tool of the church by Satan. Okay? You'll never settle this. I mean, if you, for the sake of argument, if you will choose any side, I will choose the other side. We can go all night. We can go from one verse after another verse to another verse. We can go and argue all night. We'll never settle it. But in God's eyes, it's a perfect harmony. And the question should be, how close can I be to Christ? Instead, how far can I go? Am I making sense to you? Did I tell you I have a grandchild? A couple times maybe, yeah. Now that he can crawl, he can pull himself up, we have this, I call it octagon, huh? You know? The guys know what that means. or cage. It's a corral that I put him in case I have to run to the bathroom. I just keep him there. Sometimes I go inside and play with him. He pulled himself up now, and I don't know what he's doing, but he's just dancing and bouncing back and forth. And we have a little table. And he tried to pull himself above the table. He pulled his leg up, and he cannot quite reach it. And then I saw one time, he hold the fence, and he pulled his leg up to the table, and I said, where are you going with that idea? What are you going to do? You're going to hop over to the table and hop over the fence so you can run away? Now, tell me, what if that he can speak to me at that age? Let's say he is on the table, he is heading over this fence, and he look at me. Do you think I'm going to say, well, it's your choice, you can go over, you can stay with me. Do you think I would say that? No, I would go over there, snatch him. What do you think you are doing? And then we're going to have some heart-to-heart talk with me then. You know, correction of a hand meeting the seat of learning. See, God does not want you to figure out whether you're going to fall off the edge or if there is an edge. Instead of that, stay close to Jesus, then you don't ever have to figure it out. Devil wants you to argue with one another, split the church all the time. So, you have a choice. You can listen to the devil, or you can listen to the word of God and just simply follow God, stay close to God. Which one are you going to be? Judas was exposed to the same spiritual privilege as the other disciples. Yet, they did him no good. The same sun that melted wax, that hardened the clay. In spite of all that our Lord said about money, all of his warning about the covetousness, Judas continued to be a thief and steal the money from the money box. And in spite of all our Lord's warning about unbelief, Judas persisted in his rejection. Jesus even washed Judas' feet, yet his hard heart did not yield to him. How much more could Jesus do? Verse 22. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now, there was a leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Note that word, please. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he whom I shall give the piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave to the Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. When it comes to pulling wool over one's eyes, Judas did a superb job. Don't you agree? Nobody figured it out. Everybody was fooled, with the exception of Jesus Christ. Up to this very hours of his treachery, Judas was protected by the very Savior whom he betrayed. Had Jesus openly acknowledged what he knew about Judas, it's likely the rest of the disciples would turn on him. Remember Peter? He had a CCW, right? You know what? In case you don't know what the CCW is, if you're not totally cool, you don't know what the CCW is. Concealed carry weapon. He carried a concealed weapon. He was not very good at it. He was looking for the head, but he just chopped the ear off. Yes, he was carrying, and all 11 guys would jump on him and probably kill him on the spot. I like the way Apostle John described himself. A disciple whom Jesus loved. Loved by Jesus. You cannot ask for better love than that, correct? Did John mean that he was the only one whom Jesus loved? No. I believe that he was so grateful that Jesus loved him. And he wanted the rest of the human beings to know about God's love for them. Sitting at the right hand and left hand of this kind of Passover meal of the host is a kind of privileged position. It's a guest of honor position. Do you know that Jesus told Judas, come sit on my left? Not only Jesus washed his feet, even though he knew he would betray. And then he told him, come sit next to me. And he even dipped the bread into the sauce and gave it to Judas. That's a double honor. God, Jesus was extending mercy after mercy, grace after grace, yet Judas could not, would not yield to Jesus Christ. Verse 27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Note three words, please. Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Here's a biblical reference of a demonic possession. Demonic possession. I know some of you may not like the idea of the demonic possession because it sounds so spooky, like some third-class horror movie. It is real. It is biblical. Please think about this. When you receive Jesus Christ in your life as Savior and Lord, what did it happen? What's happening in the spiritual realm? The Holy Spirit, who is very much God, He's the third member of the Trinity, come into your heart, make Himself at home in your heart, and reside there. In other words, if you are born again Christian, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense to you? So if you are born, let me say it one more time. If you are born again Christian, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. If you have not done that, you are not a Christian. And you don't go to heaven because you don't have a guarantee. And you are thinking, if you are an unbeliever, you may say, well, where do you find it in the Bible? I'm glad you're thinking. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit, that's a capital S, Holy Spirit, in our heart as what? Guarantee. Guarantee for what? Eternal salvation in heaven. All right. While we are turning the Bible, move to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is, there's a very important phrase, temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. In other words, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, where the God Himself resides. Okay, go to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Some of you guys memorize this by heart. You are of God, the little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you, that he is capital He, that's the Holy Spirit, is in you greater than he who is in the world. Who is the other he in the world? Satan. So the Holy Spirit within you is greater than the Satan in the world. Let me put all these three phrases in one paragraph. When we receive Jesus into our lives, He gives us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee for our eternal salvation. then the Holy Spirit resides in our heart and we become His temple where He lives. The Holy Spirit who lives in us is God Almighty, who has no rival, no competitor, period. And He doesn't share His heart with Satan or his demons like a duplex condominium. Am I making sense? So is a demonic possession still happening? Yes. I've seen it, I've experienced, I encountered it face to face. It was not a pleasant experience. And some of you are thinking, do we have one inside? No, don't look around. Because they think you are the one. Even though the Satan had entered Judas, it was Jesus still in charge. Verse 28. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought that because Judas had a money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things for we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received a piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. As Robert Hansen, the former FBI agent who became a Russian spy, didn't think about his end result of his decision and motives and action, nor did Judas. The only thing that mattered to him was getting money. That is 30 pieces of silver, which is the cost of a slave. And getting out of Dodge before the high priest and the Jewish religious ruler come down on Jesus Christ. Please keep in mind, Judas knew what he was doing and what he did, and he did it deliberately. He already met with the Jewish religious rulers and got paid. Apostle John's little sentence at the end of verse 31, it said, it was night. It carries a tremendous impact when you remember the light and darkness image that over and over mentioned in Gospel of John. Jesus is the light of the world. You agree? But the Judas rejected Jesus and went into darkness. Those who do evil things hate the light of the world because it reveals, the truth of God reveals their evil motives and decisions and actions. I was watching President George H.W. Bush. His concession speech after he lost his election, re-election for that matter, to the Bill Clinton, former Arkansas governor. It was November 3rd, 1992. You may remember that time. And some of you are thinking, I was not even born. When George W. Bush Sr. showed up and he said, I called Bill Clinton and congratulated him. Of course, the support of George W. Bush Sr. booed him. And he graciously raised his hand and quieted the people down. He said, same kinds of sentence. He said, it's Clinton's night. When I heard that, this verse came to my mind. That's the start of the night than when America stepped farther away from God. November 4th, 2008, another thing happened. This time, Chicago, I forgot the name of that field, was filled with 50,000 people chanting and screaming at the top of their lungs, celebrating the victory of the President, Senator Obama at that time. They are chanting their slogans. And again, this verse came to my mind. It was night. why would I say that what built the America took a step further away from God when Bill Clinton was elected? Because everything he did was pulling America away from God. I'm not going to go into the whether it's conservative or the liberals thing. I'm simply telling you about what he did against the Word of God. The principles. You cannot disagree with me on that. Another thing, what Barack Obama and his cohort, Eric Holder, General Attorney General, everything they do is against the Word of God, starting with homosexuality, gay marriage, and you name it. Everything they do is against the Word of God. I don't care if the President Obama says, I am a born-again Christian. If he is a born-again Christian, I'm Apostle Paul. I am not. I don't even come near like him. Am I condemning President Obama? No, I pray for him, as you heard me. Election time is coming up again. It was bad enough to elect Bill Clinton once. And American people was stupid enough to say it is about economy. Economy is good, so they re-elected him. We had Barack Obama for 4 years. Do you want another ungodly person to go on for another 4 years? Think hard. Do what God says. Two applications. Number one, the devil can provide us all the lame excuse, all the false reasons, and even a twisted justification why we should sin against the Lord and follow our carnal nature. But it is us who make that decision, not the devil. That means you are responsible, I am responsible for our own action. If you are believers of Jesus Christ, you don't have to yield to temptation whenever it rises its ugly head. We have a power that comes from our God, the Spirit, within us. All we have to do, number one, submit to God. Number two, resist devil. Then the third thing is automatic. You cannot say, well, I have addiction. Really, try this. Let's repeat this with me. Submit to God. Resist devil. One more time. Submit to God. Resist devil. Foremostly, you have to submit to authority of God. You have to rely on His power. And don't say, devil made me to do it. I'll come around and smack it upside your head. Let's stand up. Pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let us walk close with you by the power of the Holy Spirit through your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.